How do you imagine climate change? I mean, if you had to guess, how bad do you think it'll get?
There was a devastating heat wave in Europe in 2003 that killed 40,000 people. By the end of the century, that will become an average summer. Huge parts of the globe, the entire equatorial band and the tropics and even part of the subtropics, will become literally uninhabitable. By that I mean that any time spent outside at all will result in death. A lot of South Florida, including Miami Beach, will be entirely wiped off the map, then basically devastated by regular flooding. I think the estimates are that the flooding there will increase 100-fold. And much of Bangladesh, which is a much scarier scenario because there are hundreds of millions of people who live there. 50% more war. Global GDP growth in half. Huge famines across the world. There's really no place on the planet that will be safe. There will be no people on the planet who will be entirely protected.
This is not make-believe. It's not a trailer for an apocalyptic thriller. It's a fact-based projection of our future. From a widely shared article by David Wallace Wells, and it's possibly the most terrifying thing I've ever read. It's also been pretty controversial. David, did you set out to scare people?
I think the short answer is yes. Every day we walk out into the world and we're familiar with the world as it is. But in our minds, we experience it as a kind of best-case scenario. And we're relatively familiar with this sort of median outcome scenario, but we almost never contemplate the scarier half of the spectrum of possibilities. And that means that we tend to sort of think of the median outcome as a worst-case outcome. You know, the sort of base project that I was engaged in, the basic endeavor, was I took the UN's basically unimpeachable projections for how much warming would happen if we take no action. And I took their sort of high-end estimate, and I went to a number of scientists who specialized in subfields and said, what would it mean for your work on food? What would it mean for your work on conflict? What would it mean for your work on economic growth? It's really scary. I mean, I think it's important for people to understand that something much more like our worst fears is actually possible, because that is where we're headed if we do not take action.
So you began that article, no matter how well-informed you are surely not alarmed enough. So, okay, go ahead, alarm us.
Well, what can I, what should I start with?
Let's talk about heat death.
Well, this is probably the scariest part of the article most of the readers responded to most viscerally. And this has to do with what heat levels the human body can tolerate. If we get to about 10 or 11 degrees of warming, which basically nobody thinks is possible by the end of this century, but if we do absolutely nothing, we will certainly get to within 200 or 250 years, then huge parts of the globe, the entire equatorial band and the tropics and even part of the subtropics, will become literally uninhabitable. By that I mean that any time spent outside at all will result in death.
Wow.
And then there are a lot of other factors that we don't really know about yet. I wrote in the article about this kind of epidemic of kidney disease in the sugarcane region of El Salvador, where something like half of all the men working in the region have chronic kidney disease because they are dealing with very regular dehydration. And that is because the region has been warmed by climate. And it's, you know, it's not even necessarily a warming that these people would notice themselves if it's just a 1 or 2 degree higher temperature across the board. You know, maybe you might think summers are a little hotter than they used to be, but it's not so dramatic that they can perceive it, but their bodies perceive it, and the effects are really devastating. That kidney disease is horribly expensive to treat. El Salvador is not a wealthy country, and even if you are able to get your way to a dialysis machine, the life expectancy for chronic kidney disease on dialysis is only 5 to 10 years. And then if you can't afford dialysis, it's less than a year. So we're probably going to be seeing many more health crises like that across the world as warming gets worse.
Wow. There's another section you write about the air becoming unbreathable. I think you called it a rolling death smog, which is what?
Well, there are a lot of different factors in how breathable the air is. One of the things that I found most interesting was that just simply having more carbon in the air that we breathe has really damaging effects on human cognition. I think the stat that I cite in the story is that if we get to about 1,000 parts per carbon parts per million in the air, which we're on track for by about 2100, that human cognitive ability declines by about 21%.
So we have a choice of being cooked to death or becoming stupid?
There are,
not sure which I'd prefer.
Yeah, it's a Sophie's choice. You know, there are, again, there's the possibility that there will be technological solutions for a lot of these effects, but it's also the case that they really add up. Many of the scientists I spoke to said to me explicitly, it's not the heat stress, it's not the food shortages, it's not, we haven't talked about the effects on conflict or economic growth, which I find super interesting. It's not even those taken individually. It's the fact that when you see civilization stressed on all of these points at once, it's just going to be very, very hard for governments and public organizations to stay stable.
Do you think that's already happening? I mean, if you look around the planet today, we've got this massive refugee problem threatening Europe, which is then destabilizing European politics and also to a certain extent American politics. How much of that do you think is actually because of global warming?
Well, a lot of climate scientists are very careful in talking about those connections. They want us to understand that the correlations that they found between warming and conflict are correlations and not necessarily causal. But they have found that for every half degree of warming, you see between 10 and 20% increased likelihood in conflict. And it's not hard to understand how those effects could take hold. If there are agricultural shortages due to crop failures and droughts, if there are public health crises that come from direct heat effects, you can see how a government that may be not entirely stable, not have widespread support among its population, would sort of crater under some of these stresses. And personally, I've never really thought of myself as an environmentalist. I've lived in New York City basically my whole life, and I think, like a lot of people, thought that climate change was affecting people in far-off places in ways that my life wouldn't really be changed by. But the Syrian refugee crisis really changed my thinking about all that. When I saw, you know, just a couple of million refugees, as you say, totally scrambling our geopolitics, and then you think about what could happen in Bangladesh, where there may be, you know, conceivably as many as 100 times as many climate refugees coming out of a drowned Bangladesh. That's really, really terrifying.
You said that that you did want to scare people, kind of scare people awake. You did get some blowback from environmentalists and climate scientists. You know, I don't want to go through a lot of different points, but one of them, you know, the point that it's possibly counterproductive to terrify people. You know, and also possibly dangerous. I mean, people with no hope don't have much motivation to change.
You know, there have been a few psychology studies that suggest that fear, especially on climate, is not the best motivator. But I have to say that personally, I think it's clear to me. I don't even understand the perspective from the other side, frankly, that it's very clear to me that complacency about climate change is a bigger issue than fatalism. I just think there are many, many more people on the planet, in the US, in the White House, that are not scared enough about climate change than there are people who are too scared.
Thank you.
Thank you.
David Wallace Wells. His article, which came out in New York Magazine, is called The Uninhabitable Earth.